Barney Sparks, of the Sparks Agency, answered his own phone when I called. He must have been having phone trouble on his end because he practically yelled the address at me and told me to come by the next day around noon. His office was far across town in the West 40s near 9th Avenue. I figured the safest way to get there was to walk across on 42nd Street, which is not my favorite route because it's full of hookers and places advertising live peep shows of various kinds and drug dealers who walk back and forth trying to sell what sounds like sense-amelia. I know that's some sort of drug, but I'm not sure what kind exactly or even if I'm hearing it correctly. It's a harrowing walk, but at least there are lots of people whose presence, although somewhat freaky, makes it less likely there will be no witnesses when I'm abducted and forced into prostitution. It's four flights up to Barney's office. I'm puffing by the time I make it to the top. There's no secretary sitting at the desk in the little front room. "Hello?" I say to the emptiness. "Back here, dear," comes a loud and raspy voice. There's a desk with a window behind it and bookshelves on either side, which are stacked to the ceiling with scripts and old playbills. The titles are written in Sharpie on the edge of the pages so they can be read when stacked face to face, and the block print is bold but shaky. Barney wears a light blue sport coat and has thick white hair cropped very close to his head. The whole place smells like cigar smoke and dust, but there's something comforting about it. I'm afraid my nervousness is obvious, especially when I discover that the only way to sit in the one huge armchair opposite his desk is to sink into it and be swallowed. I fight the chair for a minute, trying to perch daintily on the edge, and then give up and sit back, which at least might make me look relaxed. "Francis Banks!" Barney bellows. Even with his hearing aid turned all the way up, he tells me, he doesn't have the greatest sense of his own volume. He never raises his voice to people intentionally, but he's always loud. He says volume is his trademark, and the community respects him for it. "Francis Banks," he says again. "Great name, a classic. You can bank on Banks. I can see the headline in the Hollywood Reporter." He takes a deep, rattly breath, which he seems to have to do any time he strings more than two sentences together. His breathing is labored and, like his voice, astonishingly loud. "A classy name for a classy gal. Look at you. You're a throwback. A girl next door with looks like Ava Gardner. Unfortunately, you didn't get her chest. But hey, I saw your little show thing the other night. My favorite part was when you fell." I'm smiling, but I'm not sure whether he's teasing me or not. "You're kidding?" "No, dear. I'm a sucker for a klutz. It's where you see what someone is made of. My father, the great Broadway director Irving Sparks, always said, anyone can smile on their best day. I like to meet a man who can smile on his worst. I was his assistant as a younger man, just 19 years old, sitting in the very last row in the audience of Best Foot Forward, when a red-headed chorus girl took a terrible spill. She got right back up and never stopped smiling. I waited by the stage door to see if I might hail a cab for her, and that's how Mrs. Sparks and I began our 52 years together. But hey, did I ever tell you about Ruth Buzzy?" I wonder if Barney remembers it's our very first meeting ever. No? "Wonderful actress, a doll, a real cut-up." Wheeze, rattle, gasp. Then, "They called me from the coast one time, looking for a Ruth Buzzy type for a new variety show, and I told them, I can do better than that. I've got the real thing. I represent Ruth Buzzy. They said they'd call back. They never called. She didn't get the job. True story. Someday, dear, I predict they'll be asking me for a type like Francis Banks. Now tell me, what is it you picture for yourself in this terrible business?" It's been a long time since anyone asked me that, and I feel suddenly shy. I'm embarrassed to tell a stranger, even a kind one, all that I've been hoping for. "What a dumb question I'm asking. It's torture telling someone what you want when you don't have it yet, isn't it?" Barney says. "How are you supposed to know yet? Am I right?" That makes me laugh. Yes. As my father, the great Broadway director Irving Sparks, always used to say, we all have to start somewhere. So start somewhere, anywhere. Give me an idea of what it is you'd like to do. Tell me everything. What is your dream? My dream? I guess, honestly, I just want to work. I really want to work. Here mostly in New York, in the theater. That's what I've pictured. Theater is wonderful, I agree. Although I think you have a face for film, too, he says, slapping himself on the chest to help a few coughs escape. Theater was wonderful if you were Ethel Merman back in the day. Now she had a paycheck. Theater is not wonderful today if you want to eat or have a grand apartment. But hey, who am I to argue? I'm here to help you. I feel a surge of pride at Barney's compliment. I have a face for film is the kind of thing I could imagine Penelope easily saying about herself, but I'd never dare. Now listen, my dear, I have a good feeling about what I saw on stage that night, and I would like to help you get started. So, he claps his hands together once for emphasis, as if he's just pulled a rabbit out of his hat and wants to make sure the audience sees it. I'm stunned. He just said he wants to work with me. I thought it would be so much harder to get anyone in the professional world to say that, ever. An actual, real-life agent wants to represent me. I don't have to do this alone. I'm shocked. What? Is that... But really? Yes, dear, really. My father, the great Broadway director Irving Sparks, always said, cream rises to the top. You, my dear, will rise. At some point. Who can say when? That is a matter of timing and luck and how badly you get in your own way. But there you have it. I know cream when I see it.